18 through 21 we covered last week. I'm just going to just read it to bring it up again. Do not store up for yourself. So Jesus talking to this crowd, okay? This is not just information. This is not fence building material. This is just Jesus talking to real people, okay, that are struggling with real tensions, who are, and the kingdom at hand is available. And so Jesus is just drawing up some of these tensions, but he knows what's in these people's heart and he knows what's in our hearts. So here's what he says. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's attention. Okay? It's attention. It's not saying these things are bad. It's just attention. He goes, I understand you're prone towards this. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, you can't keep this stuff anyway. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so Jesus is drawing out, or he's identifying a deep-seated desire in the real life of his hearers. And the people he's talking to, for the most part, live in desperate times of depleted resources, and what they do get gets taken away. And that creates in the heart of people a desire to be able to store up. Rightly so, nobody wants to live in that place. But Jesus understands a lot more. It's not always about what's happening, it's about what's really going on. Okay? And they didn't just wake up one morning in this situation. It happened over time, and there's a reason that it happened. And so Jesus says, well, the kingdom's here, and if you're going to move on, don't think that the kingdom looks like this, because it doesn't. It looks like this. And if you continue to do this, you'll have what you've always had. And if you do this, something different will transpire. And Jesus is not telling them not to have stuff, but rather he is challenging their perspective on the stuff. And so we talked about that last week, but I want to take in something that Luke wrote for us. And Jesus spoke these words. Luke records them later, and they align with what Jesus is saying here. Look what Luke recorded. This is Jesus' words. Then he said to them, beware. Pay attention. Like, I don't have to tell you beware if I don't think you're going to stumble into it. Right? Whenever I see beware, that means I'm prone to this. This isn't for somebody else. This is for me. Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. So Jesus tells this crowd, he goes, if you want to find life in the kingdom, you're not going to find it in what you can store. And later on, Jesus says, beware, be on your guard, right? Be on your guard. That's like saying, my mom lives in Canyon City, Colorado. There are 14 prisons in Canyon City, Colorado. And the Supermax prison, where they kept people like Ted Kaczynski and those type of guys, is there, all right? I will guarantee you there are signs that say, do not pick up hitchhikers. I used to see those around Deer Lodge, right? Do not pick up hitchhikers. Beware danger. Don't pick them up. It's not a good idea to do it here. And it's the same idea. Beware, this thing is, it will get you if you let it, and you are prone to it. So beware and be on your guard. I want to stop for a minute. Well, actually, not just a minute, the rest of the service. A few minutes, a lot of minutes for some of you. And I want to talk about a biblical worldview around the principle of greed. Okay? I want to talk about, because when Jesus says, beware and be on your guard, he's not just talking about greed as some kind of feeling like I want to have more, because if it was that, we could get past it relatively easy. But greed is a disease. It's an infectious disease of the heart. And your enemy knows that if he can get you infected with greed, something's going to happen. And I want to say in Romans 12, we read in verses 1 and 2 that when we participate in the kingdom, that there is a transformation that should be happening in our life. Anytime people say, well, I know Jesus and I read the Bible. Okay, how is it changing your life? And they kind of look at you like a cow at a new gate. Well, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, his word is alive and active. And if you're really knowing him, you can't stay the same. You can't. You cannot be in the presence of Almighty God and stay sinful. He loves us and he meets us where we're at, but he says, you cannot come to me and stay the same, because what is in your life is what separated you from me. And I've made a way for that to be taken care of so you can experience this transformation, and you will not be what you are. And that's why when people say, well, I'm just this. Well, that's nice, but God transforms this to that. It's the caterpillar to the butterfly. That's the word, metamorphosis. Now, I want you to know that that same principle works in Satan's kingdom as well. He's hijacked it, and he's manipulated it, and he's bent it, but it still happens. And we have to be aware of it. Anytime God does something, the enemy will counterfeit it at some level. And greed is a transformational disease. It doesn't just happen. It takes root, and it grows, and it's a heart condition that overruns us. And this is the reason that Jesus said, beware and be on your guard against any form of greed. It is an infectious disease. And so I want to look at it as a biblical worldview. Greed is a disease that rots the inner person with a death conceived by its author, Satan. And greed leverages what we can see in the appearances of things to slip in a deception that we can easily begin to live out of. And actually, it does a transformation. And Paul writes about this, and James writes about this, and so many of, I mean, there you can take what Jesus says here, and you can find the teaching throughout Old and New Testament. And we're gonna look at some of those. Greed promises to take a person from poverty to prosperity with the acquisition of resources. Now, I want to say something. At the onset, there are many tenets from a biblical worldview of greed that are not bad. Okay? There is nothing wrong with having a job and making a living. Nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with working hard. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But it's how we treat it. And see, this is what our enemy knows. And this is, he will come into something good and he will infect there. Because we're willing to enter in. And what happens is we begin to justify things. Like I deserve this. Like, I've worked hard. Like, and scripture is very plain about how we are to treat the resources that we acquire. But the enemy whispers in the other ear the same way he did in the garden. He goes, well, look at that tree. Doesn't that look good? You know, I think God just doesn't want you to have more of that, because he knows that if you have more of that, you'll be like him. Oh, well, is there anything wrong? I mean, wanting to be more like God is a great thing. But the problem is that there was a shift, and God was no longer the source. He now became a tool, right? And that is, whenever we talk about resources, we have to consider that what is the source and what is the tool, and that's the shift and that's the transformation that takes place, and that's what greed does, is it moves us from a place of seeing God as our source, and it moves us to a place of seeing our resources as our source. And God's just off in the peripheral someplace, and he's a tool, and we just want to get him to do more that allows us to have more, and this transformation and this rot happens, and it's called greed, okay? In the process, there is a transfer of trust. And the resources become the source of our trust rather than a tool to do the work of the kingdom. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying to these people. Don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. Why? Because when you do that, and who did he say it was for? Yourself. He didn't say, don't use the riches of the world for the kingdom. He didn't say that. He didn't say, don't have wealth. He didn't say that. He said, don't store it up for yourself. Why? Because when you store it up for yourself, it will become your trust. And it doesn't just happen overnight. It happens over time. And the way that you can tell, I just need to keep going because I'll totally get off track. Okay, in the temporary relief that the participant experiences in their acquired resources, greed introduces the fear of loss. See, this is where the transformation begins to happen. You start out on a pretty good footing. There's nothing wrong with working hard and getting resources. But when you begin to store them up for yourself, and it happens a little at a time, I really believe this, now you experience a temporary happiness or contentment, and the enemy comes in and he goes, if you lose that, you'll go back here. That's fear. Now, fear is the secret sauce in the disease. Fear always is. Fear creates activity. And so now, what happens? I begin to serve the stuff, to maintain the stuff. Now, this is so interesting because something else happens. Once fear comes in, the devil pulls the judo flip on you, and now all of a sudden, the realization of what Jesus said becomes ever so real. The moss and the rust and the thief are consuming what you're storing up. Work harder. Oh, now greed is getting a good foothold in your heart. And fear feeds it. And now what Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and you will hate the other. And I've seen it again and again. Somebody will come and they'll go, man, you know, I'm concerned about you, and you look like Gollum on Lord of the Rings. Ha ha! Right? Why? Because the disease has taken root in the heart, and greed has taken hold. Does God have anything against us having stuff? He most certainly not. But who is your source, and what is the tool? Because a shift has taken place through fear. Now, the resources are the source of your contentment. And they never can be. And the funny thing is you realize it. Oh my goodness, I've got to protect this because if I don't, somebody's going to steal it. God said, well, I didn't give it to you to store up in the first place. You know, Jesus gives us a parable of the rich owner who, God wasn't against him having stuff. He had great wealth, said he had a great year. Where do you think that great year had come from? It came from God. And he said, I will store up for myself. God says, you fool. This night your life will be required of you. There's a lot in that parable that I can't unpack, but we see this throughout Scripture, and we see the disease of greed. When it gets in our heart, it has nothing about, you can be as poor as a church mouse and be greedy. It doesn't require a lot. You just have to look at something and believe it's your source other than God. And the infectious heart disease of greed will have you. And it will grow as long as you let it grow. And boy, it's kind of like heart disease. The farther down the road you go, the harder it is to make it back to health. Now, nothing is impossible with God, but just know it's not an easy road. Because many times it requires what the world considers great loss. Why? Because you have to quit serving your false god. Try to get Rockefeller to do that. Be a long, hard road, right? But I'll guarantee you, where he's at now, unless he came to the Lord, he would have given it all up to have what God was offering. You can't take it with you. Naked we came into this world, naked we go. Fear causes people to behave in a brutal manner. Paul tells Timothy in his last letter, he says, beware of this, in the last days, people will be brutal. Brutal. Fear causes people to behave in a brutal manner, willing to do anything. They go into a mode. It's like a willing to protect anything that takes them down the path. Willing to do anything to protect. And this takes them down a path of slavery to their new master. You see how it happened. I start out possessing something and I end up being a slave to that thing. What allows that to happen? Greed. Fear allows that to happen. The disease takes on a dark, transformative nature in those it infects. The reality of metamorphosis is not just a kingdom of God reality. And somewhere in the greed syndrome, the disease transforms from a desire to have into a dread of losing. And in that feverish state, the victim also becomes aware that their resources are deteriorating right before their eyes. And while this is happening, the father of lies is speaking, work harder to remain your source of false freedom. Unfortunately, there's not a shot to prevent greed. But the best preventative care is the continual examination of our source awareness. Many times, and I can usually feel it, there's just an agitating stirring in my heart when I'm dealing with something and I'm trying to make something happen and it's not working and I'm getting more frustrated, more angry and fear about this and fear about that, and I have to stop and I go, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Even if I get this done, even if I accomplish this, even if I acquire this, does it make my life free from? No. So why am I treating this like it's a source? This is not my source. This will never satisfy. God is my source, and He has entrusted me with tools. Isn't that great? Your resources are tools. They're given to you by God to see His kingdom come and His will be done. And when we can hold them like that, and when we examine that once in a while, God, how am I holding the resources that you have entrusted me with? Has this become my source of security? Proverbs talks about that a lot. It says the rich man's wealth is his walled city, right? He views it as his protection. We're warned about that. We can fall into that. Does it protect you? It goes on to say that try to grasp it and it'll slip between your fingers like oil. And God addresses his people throughout scripture and he says, why do you think that you gain money just to put it in bags with holes? Because you're treating it as a source. It's not your source. It can't be your source. It's passing away. It's rotting right before your eyes. It says that in judgment, the rust of your gold will testify against you. Who's that for? It's not for people that just had stuff. It's for people who made that their source. Right? God will go, that's your source? It's rusting. It's rotting. It's deteriorating. That was your source when you had the eternal hope. So Jesus looks at this penguin. He goes, the kingdom of God is at hand. He goes, don't keep living this way. I know you're frustrated. I know that you've experienced loss. I know all of these things. But even if you had all of that back, you wouldn't be happy. And the reason that you're in the spot is because my father warned you ahead of time and you took the path and allowed greed to infect your hearts. And everything my father said would happen has happened. Why aren't you seeing that? You go, well, where's that? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. All right. We even got time. Every earthly resource is in the process of deteriorating. I can't keep it. I can't keep it. However, I can steward it. And God is the source that makes every resource possible and appropriate. This is, I'm going to read you a passage of scripture that I think is the vitamin C of scripture that helps combat the heart disease of greed. And I don't know if vitamin C helped. We'll call it a virus of greed. It got in somehow and it affects the heart. Okay? But this is not a cure-all, but it is most definitely preventative. So in Deuteronomy, and this is an extended passage of scripture, but I want you to hear this. So God is getting ready to take the people into the promised land. Now, was the promised land a good land? Was it a rich land? Were they going to have some stuff when they got there? Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And people will say, and rightly so, well, you know, why wouldn't God want his kids to have good stuff? Great, I agree. The problem is, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, because this is what's going to come after you once you have this stuff. Guaranteed. And God knows our tendency. Can I say something? After we get done reading this, okay, there is no way possible. I want you to see the power that we're talking about. According to Scripture, the wealthiest nations of the earth should be the most godly nations. But history has shown us that the wealthiest nations on earth become the most base nations on earth. Why? Greed. Greed. The infectious disease of greed. We're all prone to it, and that's why we're told, beware. This is why Jesus said, quit trying to just store up stuff for yourself. Sorry to work hard. It's okay if you have stuff. But don't treat it like it's yours, because it's God's. Because as soon as you treat it like it's yours, it will become a transformational process in you. And whether you want it to or not, it will become your source. And you will become so afraid of losing it that you will do anything it takes to keep it. And in doing so, you will abandon your relationship with God and keeping him as your source. It's not about not loving God. I can love God and put him, well, I can like God. I can have affections for God and put him in second place, which means he's not my source. And Jesus equated that to hating him. Okay? He said, you will love one and you will hate the other. And that word hate means to make secondary. In other words, it's not the source. It's not the source. And scripture talks about this so much. Why? Because we're prone to it. Okay, vitamin C. Let's get to vitamin C. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. Here's Moses speaking to the nation. He says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do. Why would he say that? Because if you're not careful, you're not going to do them. Right? There are things that are going to try to get you. You are prone to them. You have to be careful. You have to pay attention. Beware. Be on your guard. That you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers. He wanted them to have it. You shall remember. Okay, pay attention. Here's some things we're supposed to remember. Here's how we stay on our guard against greed. You shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Were these good years? Was the 40 years in the desert good years for Israel? Heavens no. Now, they kind of put themselves there. But nonetheless, you know, I think it's so interesting that when they dishonored God, God didn't just throw them away. He provided for them for 40 years. He was their source for 40 years. And this is why he tells them, remember that I was your source when you had nothing. Remember, your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. He humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone. Now, in that day and age, if you had a lot, you had bread, right? I eat because I have. But Moses says, no, you ate because he was your source. You don't live by bread alone. You live by everything that God gives you. He's establishing precedent. But man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. They're commanded to remember these things. We're commanded to remember how God has been our source in the times when it was a struggle. Why? Because I think that's where we see him most clearly. Oh, I see God. The problem is we don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to that. Well, he never said we had to. But I'm afraid, there it is. Moses tells his people, don't live in fear and just lay up for yourself in this land. Well, let's keep reading. He says it for himself. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep his commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. There it is. Anybody that says, being poor does not make you humble. Okay. God, if you want to take a vow of poverty, go ahead. I can't find it in scripture. I really do believe, like, again, you start off in a right place, but you have to be on your guard against greed if you're going to enter into this good land. This is what he's saying. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. All of these were considered wealth, okay? This is like saying I'm giving you a gold mine. A land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So you see here that Moses establishes, when you experience good, don't forget the source. Okay? Beware, here it is, that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and the terrible wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and strength of my hand has made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. That passage, direct from the mouth of God through Moses, tells us that prosperity is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Now, this is where we can have to wrestle with another tension. God does not operate in our terms of fairness, does he? God entrusts to some great resources, and God's gifts are without repentance. He doesn't take them back. Now, we will give an answer for how we steward it, but when you want to talk about fair, God isn't a communist. Right? Everybody doesn't get the same thing. And I don't understand all that, and there's a tension in that, and I just want to acknowledge that because I thought about that yesterday. Man, God, you, like fair, that's something that happens in the country during the fall. Is fair. That's fair. That's what fair is. All right. So I got a question to ask because God's addressing it. He says it right in there. Jesus is addressing it in the people. What broken internal compass might tell us prosperity is the product of our hard work? What broken internal compass might tell us that prosperity is the product of our hard work? Pride. Pride. I was coming home from Whitefish one day. I had been over to visit Pastor John Bent at Christ Lutheran Church. I just enjoyed Pastor John. I would go visit him. He gave me an hour a month. That's all I asked for. He probably would have given me more, but I'd just go sit with him and ask questions, and we'd talk. And I was driving home, and just as you, just before you crest the top of the hill to drop down on Highway 40 to where it meets 93 there by the Blue Moon and Murdoch's, there is a place that builds log homes off to the right. And I have watched this place from the inception when it was just a little shack and some sawdust on the ground, and now it's just a log yard and it's full of stuff. And it just irked me. Greed. I'm like, God, I could do that. Here I am doing this. You know, it's like, I want to be able to store up. That's what I was saying. That's what I was struggling with. I'm telling you, this is real for me too. Like, I want to be able to store up. I want some of that. And God said, you're so mistaken. He goes, prosperity is not a matter of human endeavor. It's a gift, and I've given them that to steward. And, you know, if that makes you upset, then we got something to talk about. The problem isn't that they have it. The problem is you want it, and you can't have it. Because I've entrusted you with some things, too. And I want you to steward those things. And I've just found that when we can hold the resources that have been put in our hands in that way, God, you gave this to me. Yes, I did work hard. Thank you for the breath that you put in my lung. Thank you for the strength that you put in my body. Thank you that you have given me the skills and the abilities to do this so that I can steward it. And if we believe that hard work is the secret sauce of prosperity, then I'll challenge you again, because I can take you to places and countries where people work harder than you and they have nothing. And they love God more. So, hard work is not the key to prosperity, is it? It is a gift. It is a gift, and again, that's a tension. And it's a hard one. Why didn't God give to everybody who works hard? Because I think God is more concerned with our source awareness. And those people that work hard and have nothing, they definitely know who their source is. And sometimes when we have lots, we forget. And Jesus looks at this people who need to know who their source is if they're going to participate in the kingdom at hand, because God says things will change, but when they change, will you just become what got you here in the first place? Because he did tell them, if you disobey me, you will be overrun. You know, God is sovereign, and he allowed other nations to come in, other people to come in, and there's definitely perspectives that we need to pay attention to. Today, here, God is still sovereign, and we have seen some ugly things in the country we live, and maybe God's saying, hey, wake up. Wake up. If you want to make this your source, I'll let you know what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Do you want me to be your source, or do you want that to be your source? We're not any different. Beware. And he doesn't just say, he says, be on your guard against any form of greed. In other words, when something becomes my source other than God, and I'm fearful of losing it, and so I'm willing to fight to protect that thing, that's greed. And it's infecting your heart. And you got to come back to the place to go, God, I love this and I appreciate it, but it's yours and I want to steward it. And you know what? If it's taken out of my hand, you're still my source. You're still going to provide for me. None who hope in the Lord will ever be disappointed. Unless you're hoping that he'll make you rich. See, that's wishful thinking. That's not hope. Hope is us together. That's what hope means. None who put their hope in God. God with you. What did it say? Paul said, I have learned to be content, whether having much or having little. I can do all things through Christ who gives me. I can do all things with Christ. I have hope. Right? I have hope. God truly is the only real source of contentment. And Jesus is telling these people and us as we listen on the hill, the kingdom of God is at hand. Don't store up for yourself where it can be consumed, but store up for yourself in heaven. Well, that's a picture of stewardship. Right? That's a picture of stewardship. He's talking about stewardship. He goes, don't do this for yourself. Do this. Do it. You can do the same thing. But have a source awareness in your heart. Like, God, you're my source and all this good is from you. And God, I want to steward this. There's things in my life I become overprotective of. Oh, if I don't do this, this, and this, I could lose it. I mean, I was a mechanic. And so I have this awareness that everything is in the process of wearing out. And there's things I look at and I'm going, oh, I'm so glad to have that. And all of a sudden I'm reminded, one day that's going to break. And when it breaks, what type of person will you be? I mean, I don't like to have to fix things. But why do I say that? Because when I look at it, I go, well, this isn't my source of happiness, but God, thank you that you've allowed me to use this for such a time and that you've given me opportunity to use it in your kingdom. And I believe that you will sustain it until I don't need it anymore. Do you know that when the Israelites walked into the promised land, the manna stopped? Oh, it's different. That was over. And God, thank you that you have allowed us to have this for the season. How do we honor you with it? Boy, I'll tell you what, that just slays the fear, which keeps the metamorphosis from happening, because the fear is really what pushes something good over the edge. Right? It's like I said, we start off in the right place, but when we begin to listen to the lie, And the devil is such a master at portraying and comparison. I'll tell you what, that is probably one of the greatest tools of the enemy, and we wouldn't say that it's a bad thing, but again, Scripture tells us not to compare ourselves to others. But it's comparison, because he's always, and look at what right? This is what was happening to me in my little 89 Mercury Tracer as I was driving by the log yard. I was comparing what they had to what I had. And God had to come and help me out with that. Why? Because, you know, I was hatching plans in my heart of how I was going to make more. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Not necessarily, but what was the motivational force? I'm not content with what you're giving me. So I'm going to find another source. I'll get it myself. Now, even at that point, I have to stop and consider, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to take the time that God was saying, hey, I want you to invest this in my kingdom this way. And now I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it over here and I'm going to invest it this way. Now I've made this my source. I've stolen. I'm lying. I'm cheating. I'm breaking all the big 10, right? Why? Fear, greed, be on your guard. Thank goodness he comes and he speaks to us and he walks with us. But anyway, we'll pick it up in James. I'm not going to go there. There's I want you to see what the rest of Scripture has to say, because what Jesus is saying harmonizes with all of Scripture. It's not just some little oddball thing. This is a pattern for living, and this is something that we all need to pay attention to and be aware of. Why? Because we're all prone to it. It's not a good or a bad thing. It's a reality. We're all prone to getting sick. Now, if you talk to my wife, she goes, quit touching your mouth with your hands. Beware. Be on your guard. People are sick. Don't do that. Go wash your hands. I don't want to wash my hands. You're always the first one to get sick. That's because I'm out in public with people. Beware. You're prone to it, right? You're prone to it. And if you say that you're not, then you're probably hiding something in the closet. You're prone to it. Let's take away from today. God, would you help me to have source awareness? I think that's where it starts. Would you help me to have source awareness? God, if there's something in my life that I have a dreadful fear of losing, God, I want to get that into your hands, and I want to deal with whatever form of greed might be trying to give me heart disease. I want to eliminate it. I want it gone. God, I don't want to store up for myself here. I want to steward and store up in heaven, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And that's the whole next sermon. That's the whole next sermon, and it's throughout Scripture. And I'm so thankful that God comes and he talks to us about these things, because his correction is a comfort to us. He saves us. Who wants to die of a heart attack? Not me. Right? Who wants to die of greed? Not me. Well, okay. Brent, you got to quit eating all those Twinkies, but I love Twinkies. Well, Brent, they're leading to heart disease. Yeah, but I love Twinkies. Doesn't the love change that? Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you. God, we live in a land that flows with milk and honey. God, you have entrusted us with resources. And those resources aren't bad, but when our love turns toward them and they become our source, God, we are headed down a path that has been devised by our enemy to remove us from the joy of knowing you as our source. You are our source. God, we want you to be our source. We want to live in such a way that we abound with who you are, that you are the living water within us, that we are not drawing waters from other wells or other springs or other cisterns. God, would you help us? God, we want to be transformed into your image. You told us in your word, in view of the mercies of God. In other words, remember what he's done. In view of the mercies of God, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to him. And be renewed. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you would know what his good and perfect and pleasing will really is. We want to know that. God, we want to walk with you and we want to be stewards. God, we want to store up where moth and rust and thief don't come. God, we want to see your kingdom come and we want to see your will be done. We want to see you receive all the glory and all the honor and all the power. God, we realize that as we steward your resources with open hands, you are seen in us. God, we want that to be the case. We thank you. God, we each ask that you would come and, God, sow the seed that you have brought for us today. Lead us forward in finding new life because we want to participate in the kingdom of hand and you are finding us in our stories just like you were finding these people in their stories and making plain the paths of life. We thank you for all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.